relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
The following was pre-recorded.
Over the past week, after you watch what's going on, we can't be under any illusions about the fact that racism is alive and well in our country. And I can't be under any illusions that we don't have it in our Navy.
It's always the case, dear friends. A story may break in the news, but its origins are much older and go much deeper. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First with a very special interview. Somebody was on the show recently for just a couple of segments, but you wanted more. He is the man who has done more than most to actually shed a light on the corrosive effects of something called critical race theory throughout the United States and especially the government. Welcome back, Chris Rufo, to America First.
It's great to be with you.
Director of the Discovery Institute Center on Wealth and Poverty. He is the director, the producer of a fabulous movie called America Lost. You've got to see it. AmericaLostFilm.com. His work led in large part, if not the lion's share, to the initiation, the initiative of the Trump administration to ban critical race theory from federal government. Visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Chris, I started our discussion, welcome back, with that video, because that video of an officer in full combat dress is from somebody called Mike Gilday, who holds the rank of CNO, which is the Chief of Naval Operations. It's the highest officer in the U.S. military responsible for our Navy and our Marines being able to do their war-fighting jobs. And that video wasn't from last week. It wasn't a reaction this weekend to Tucker Carlson and Fox News. That was from the last year. That was the Chief of Naval Operations making a video to the whole fleet, all the sailors, all the Marines across the United States saying, you know, my issue is racism in the military. Chris, what we're seeing happening right now has a far longer trail to it and a far deeper origins, does it not?
Yeah, it does. And I think what we're seeing, and especially in the last year, is that all of our elite institutions, including the military, have been really cowed into the kind of mantra of anti-racism. And I think the problem is that someone like this, this soldier, military brass, failed to separate the premise from the conclusion. So the premise is true. This is obvious. All of us would agree. There's been a history of racism in the United States, just like any other society throughout history. We can agree on the premise, but what they do is they jump straight to the conclusion from the Black Lives Matter organization or the Democratic Socialists or the critical race theorists like Ibram Kendi. They have a prepackaged set of solutions, but a truly wise leader, which I would love to see, especially in our military because it's so vital, would be able to separate the premise from the conclusion. It would say, hey, let's acknowledge the existence of racism historically. Let's acknowledge even the persistence of some residual racism. How can we come together to fight this in a way that unifies all Americans? But unfortunately, people are so scared that they automatically accept not only the premise, but the conclusion from the race theorists that, frankly, don't follow. They're not logically coherent. They're not actually good for our society. They prey on division rather than unification. And I think it's tremendously dangerous to see it in a place like our military. The military exists to fight and to win wars, not to propagate HR programs from anti-racism diversity trainers such as these.
So critical race theory is the latest phenomenon. It's the most obvious, the most blatantly corrosive. But let's go back in time. You've done lots of field work. You've written seminal pieces, given interviews that I think are responsible for the fabulous response of the last administration. But critical race theory is just one facet of critical theory. So can you walk us through the origins of where this phenomenon or where this way of thinking actually originally came from, Chris?
Yeah, critical theory, you know, started in the 1930s and then, you know, really through kind of came to full fruition in the 1960s. And these are basically left-wing Marxist intellectuals from Europe who had seen the disaster of actual Marxism and communism in the Soviet Union. They also realized that Marxism and communism would never be able to come to fruition in the United States and in Western Europe, which had large middle classes, that they weren't, you know, in revolt against the bourgeoisie. So they really started to think, how can we adapt Marxism, not on economic terms, but along social, cultural, and then racial terms? How can we foment the kind of social revolution against capitalism through kind of cultural politics and the Cultural Revolution? And many of these folks celebrated the Cultural Revolution in China, which ended up in the deaths of millions of people from purges and persecutions. And after that was, again, shown to be a human disaster that led to death and destruction, they morphed it again into critical race theory, trying to come up with a legal and kind of intellectual framework to oppose the American Declaration of Independence, the American Constitution, the 14th Amendment guaranteeing equal rights, and even in many cases, the Civil Rights Act. Critical race theory is not an extension of the American Civil Rights Movement. Actually, it's in many cases opposed to the Civil Rights Movement. And all Americans should be aware of that distinction, because what they try to do is they say Black Lives Matter on critical race theory inherited the mantle of Martin Luther King. But if you look at their intellectual work, in many ways, they're opposed to the vision of Martin Luther King.
Why? Can you unpack that? Well, why is Martin Luther King's vision antithetical to Black Lives Matter, for example?
Well, in the 1960s, you had two competing visions of civil rights and equality. You had the Martin Luther King vision that famously proclaimed that he wanted to treat people based on the content of their character, not the color of their skin. So this was equal protection under the law, protection of individual rights, protection of a kind of colorblind society that would allow minorities and other disenfranchised people to rise in our society. There was another vision, though. This was from Malcolm X. This was from the Black Panther Party. This was from Angela Davis and the Communist Party USA. They said, no. Equal rights is merely a sham. It's a disguise that would enable capitalism and white supremacy to continue to thrive. We need total revolution against the United States as a nation. It's irredeemable. It's fundamentally corrupt. Thankfully, the vision of the civil rights movement, which, again, was not just black Americans, but was Americans of all racial groups and even Americans of both political parties, it won the day. But again, we see this kind of revival of that old tradition of radicalism, of revolution, of kind of Marxist-inspired ideology that is creeping up into our discourse again today.
Now, what is the end state? If these are individuals who have realized because of the writings of Gramsci or Alinsky or others that you can't affect in a non-agrarian, non-feudal society, you can't have a Marxist revolution as happened in Tsarist Russia or in China in 1948. You can't do that. So we're going to change the class division basis for this ideology and break it down into heterosexual versus homosexual, white versus black, the heterosexual versus the transgender. If that's the case, is this just, and I don't want to oversimplify it, I'm trying to get inside the mind of these peoples, like people like Kendi and Angela Davis. Is this just a veiled, a cloaked version of Marxism? Is this just a repackaging? And if they say America is irredeemable, which they do, then what is the end state, Chris, that they are trying to achieve?
Well, this is kind of the trick. They've become very kind of clever with their language, and they never say we want a Marxist revolution to overthrow the United States, but it really is embedded in their theoretical ideas. And you know, Ibram Kendi famously says you can't be anti-racist without being anti-capitalist. So again, a kind of basic Marxist economic foundation of anti-capitalism grafted onto a kind of new wave idea of so-called anti-racism. And, you know, if you look at even someone like Cheryl Harris, a professor at Harvard and UCLA law schools, who is a foundational scholar in critical race theory, she says, you know, we need to actually suspend private property rights for a time so that we can redistribute land and wealth, seize it from the wealthy, and redistribute it along racial lines.
We're talking to the director of the Discovery Institute Center for Wealth and Poverty, director, producer, creator behind the amazing movie America Lost. Check it out, americalostfilm.com. Follow him at RealChrisRufo on Twitter. Dear friends, there has never been a more important time to protect your digital rights. That's why I and thousands of my patriotic listeners choose to secure our online data by using ExpressVPN. Did you believe that a VPN isn't for you because you can use the internet just fine without one? At any time you go online, your internet service provider can see every site you're visiting. Are you confused about how it works? ExpressVPN is an app for computers and smartphones that encrypts your network data and reroutes it through a secure server. That means you can use the internet more anonymously without having your activity tracked. Do you think that VPNs are complex and only for tech experts? Take it from me, they're not. With ExpressVPN, you launch the app and tap just one button to protect yourself. It's really that simple. Take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/GORKA and get 3 extra months free on a 1-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/GORKA to get 3 extra months free. Visit expressvpn.com/Gorka right now.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Young America's Foundation.
We're talking to the director of the Discovery Institute Center for Wealth and Poverty, director, producer, creator behind the amazing movie America Lost. Check it out, americalostfilm.com. Follow him at RealChrisRufo on Twitter. So you mentioned some of these anti-capitalists, these people who wish to destroy America. Tell us who they teach, who they consult to, and the kinds of monies these anti-capitalists, like Robert D'Angelo, Angela Davis, and Ibram Kendi make. So as anti-capitalists, they're doing quite well, aren't they, Chris?
Yeah. And that's really the rub, right? I mean, no one is really anti-capitalist. If you look at the four remaining, the three remaining socialist and communist countries in Asia, you know, China is a communist country, Vietnam is a communist country, I believe it's Cambodia is the third one. They all have a smaller government as a share of GDP than the United States. Actually, in practice, the government of the United States is more socialistic than all of the remaining socialist countries. everyone knows that capitalism is the great generator of wealth. And for a lot of the critical race theorists, they preach anti-capitalism because it's fashionable, it's chic, it's perceived as high status. But they all practice the lives of vicious and greedy capitalists. They want to accumulate resources and money. They'll take money from oil companies, from technology companies, from everybody to kind of feed themselves from the capitalist machine. But they justify it by saying that this is simply redistribution. This is simply taking the fruits of illegitimate capitalist capital accumulation and redistributing it to the great kind of proletariat minds that make up the vanguard of this revolution. And if you look throughout history, the communists have always impoverished the poor and enriched the powerful. This is a thing that has happened in every communist revolution since the very first one in Russia in 1917. The cadre, the elite, the party members always suck up the wealth and labor of their countries in order to further their political goals, while impoverishing the people that they're purported to help. It's no different in the kind of hyper-capitalist United States than it is in the hyper-communist Soviet Union of 100 years ago.
Well, the only difference is that everybody lived in drudgery who was a member of the working classes. No duchess and no Zell limousines for anybody, no matter how hard they tried. But what I want to ask you is with those who are preaching this here, how are they doing? How are the anti-capitalists? Like, talk to us about white fragility and Robin DiAngelo. How much does Robin DiAngelo charge for one of her white fragility seminars?
Yeah, Robin DiAngelo is an amazing figure. She's kind of like a kind of like, if you were to come up with a parody or a caricature, it couldn't get better than the actual real person. And, you know, she gives white fragility seminars. I think she's getting paid something like $20,000 for a one-hour Zoom call. And, you know, on one hand, all power to her. I'd love to get paid $20,000 for a one-hour Zoom call. I hope I get there one day. I'd have no shame in it.
But you wouldn't like to get there whilst teaching anti-capitalism. There's a bit of a contradiction there, isn't there?
That's exactly right. It's like I would do it as a proud capitalist and supporter of capitalism and as a kind of a reflection of my kind of value in the marketplace. But this is really the kind of paradox. Someone like Robin DiAngelo teaches that all whites, including white women, are racist, and that they should center the voices of women of color. And yet she seems to be centering her own voice more than anyone else and sucking up all of those anti-racism training dollars for herself. The hypocrisy, though, I think, Seb, is the point. The hypocrisy is a reflection not of a kind of moral contradiction, but a reflection of their actual political and social power in our world as it exists today. They're able to preach something that is antithetical to their practice, but they can do it and get away with it because they hold the levers of power. Conservatives won't improve our country by simply complaining about hypocrisy. We need to fundamentally change the landscape of power in our country so that hypocrisy like this is actually punished, not rewarded.
Okay, now that's a pretty big sentence. I think we could spend the next 3 hours on that sentence, how we use the levers of power to reverse that. But let's just stop here for a second, because I think you use the phrase, this is enough. Well, you know, here's the rub of the issue. You say, and I agree, pointing out the hypocrisy. I mean, one of our dear callers just texted me today saying, oh my gosh, did you hear how much the Secretary of Homeland Security just lied about the border? And I feel like telling this nice lady, what were you expecting? Were you expecting that he would deny there's a crisis at the border? And you've just hit the nail on the head. The hypocrisy is the point. You cannot do anything. Nothing will change. Or saying, well, look, she teaches X and she's doing Y. She's anti-capitalist, anti-American, getting on a Zoom technology to earn $25,000 for a 50-minute lecture. So pointing out the hypocrisy is irrelevant. The question is, what do you do about it? So I'll let that simmer for a second. We'll wrap the discussion with that. But right now, you have the sources. I think you're probably the best connected individual when it comes to gathering or being provided the evidence of what is actually going on, not just in the corporations and through the mandatory HR sessions, but in U.S. government, in the bureaucracies, and in the U.S. military. So for those who think this is just some abstruse analysis that has no relevance to anything that the real life is about, will you give some concrete examples of what is happening in these corporations, in these departments of government, and in the U.S. military? What are people being told they have to do, and how are they being treated by these experts on social justice and critical race?
Yeah, I mean, it's foundational now. At West Point, the United States' most prestigious military academy, they're now teaching leadership courses on critical race theory and queer theory. This is something that they believe that our soldiers need as kind of leaders and reflect the kind of deeply held American values. So it starts at West Point and it doesn't stop. I've talked to many soldiers and enlisted people in the Air Force, in the Navy, in the Army. They say they're getting constantly barraged with political messaging. They're getting constantly pressured to endorse and bend the knee to Black Lives Matter. And that this focus, this kind of very monomaniacal focus on diversity, so-called diversity, is actually detracting from their ability to work together towards the mission of protecting the United States. And even our nuclear weapons engineers, I reported on a story from the Sandia National Laboratories, the people who design our nuclear arsenal, white male executives were forced to attend a white male re-education camp in which they were asked to renounce their white male identity. They were told that being a white male is analogous to the KKK and lynchings and slavery and other historical evils, and then forced to write groveling letters of apology, just like in a Maoist struggle session. So this is truly everywhere. And one other story that I'm working on that should be coming out in the next few months is they're even reinstating racial segregation at government agencies like the Veterans Administration, where they're having separate training sessions and separate HR programs on the basis of your skin color. So we entered this bizarre world where the so-called anti-racists are in reality the neo-racists. They're reviving racial segregation. They're reviving race essentialism. They're reviving collective guilt. They're reviving ugly racial stereotypes about people. And even our bravest men and women in uniform are frankly too scared to stand up to it. They're too scared to speak out because they don't want to be the one in the room that is denounced in this new kind of cultural moment.
The government has declared him essential. Sebastian Gorka.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son, founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and now I agree. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor for Pete and Seth selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. That's correct. Each of the four ingredients deal with inflammation on a different metabolic pathway. That right there. Approaching your pain from four different angles may very well be why so many Americans find such wonderful pain relief. If you have back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or even just getting older, you must order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. I think it could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to relieffactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Salem Now and Church People.
We're talking to Chris Rufo. Follow him right now, Chris Rufo, his movie AmericaLostFilm.com. Let's get to the praxis, where the rubber meets the road. What are the transmission belts? This is like a virus. This is like an ideological virus being introduced into the corporations, into the government bureaucracies, into the military. How does it get injected? What is the mosquito that does the bite? I would imagine for corporate America, you're the expert, let me just guess. For corporate America, it's the millennials or the kids who graduated 10 years ago with their useless bachelors of arts in gender studies who become the HR department drones who end up as the head of HR and then use their indoctrinated garbage from Berkeley, for example, to impose that ideology on the inside of the corporations. Is it something as simple as that? And how does it work in government?
Yeah, it is. That's part of it. And the landscape of power and transmission is really fascinating. And it obviously started in the universities. I think another main point of transmission is graduate schools of education, so teacher training programs. If you look at the most prestigious teacher training programs, such as the one at Columbia, I mean, they are explicitly left-wing. They're basing their entire pedagogical theories on a guy named Paulo Freire, a Marxist theoretician from Brazil, who said that we need to use the education system in order to gain revolutionary consciousness and overthrow the oppressors. This is now becoming the dominant pedagogy in many public school districts around the country. And then I think in government, we find something very interesting. And this is something where I would challenge conservatives to revise their opinion. 10 years ago, we made fun of those kids with gender studies degrees from Barnard. And, you know, these were kind of BS degrees. And that would lead them into unemployment or underemployment or some kind of basement dwelling. But in fact, something different happened. These BS degrees turned into BS jobs as equity development directors, as directors of diversity and inclusion, as microaggression investigators in campuses. You now have entire bureaucracies that are dedicated to this ideology in almost every major institution in the country, including and especially public institutions. So you have these massive bureaucracies that are unaccountable to the marketplace, unaccountable to the profit motive, unaccountable to the public in many cases, where they are internalized political divisions. And you would remember from your European history and Eastern European history, every good government office or bureaucracy would have a political officer, right? Yeah. That is there to maintain ideology.
Who was as senior... as the person who was actually doing the work. There was the Zampolit who had to ensure political purity for everybody else who was actually doing the stuff.
Well, guess what? We are in this strange position where we now have a state, official state ideology that is kind of left-wing identity politics based. And we have official commissars of ideological purity in most of our institutions. And this is how they function in practice. This is what I'm learning through all of my investigative reporting. And this is the hard part, right? Because as conservatives, we are truly on the outside of the institutions. And we're facing against a permanently funded state bureaucracy that is essentially weaponized against the people, against middle class values, against American history. And this is extremely dangerous. And conservatives have to get sophisticated in how we dismantle, deconstruct, and then decentralize the bureaucracy and return power back to American families, communities, and individuals so that our values can be reflected in our institutions, not reflected in the kind of elite program from Columbia Teachers College and elsewhere.
All right. So I promised we'd get back to that question of how we leverage our power and how we respond. But let me ask you the personal question. I'm sure you've met him. We had James Lindsay on, who's written the book Critical Theories, which goes into quite some detail. I mean, I love this stuff. I'm a wonk at heart, but goes into some real, real detail on, you know, why queer theory really happened, the role of queer theory, the connection to, you know, racial justice and blah, 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 blah. And I asked him, I had to, because, you know, as a child of people who suffered under totalitarian regimes, I said to this guy who was born here, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you, you know, deciding to take on the Goliath? Why are you walking into, you know, Ariadne's maze as a lone researcher? And he said, and I love his response, he said, I just saw too many of my friends suffering injustice, across academe, being pilloried, being having their careers destroyed because they didn't want to acquiesce to this political dogma.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Sadly, we're living under a Biden-Harris administration, and we all have to navigate the fallout of the barrage of executive orders. We have a good idea of what these are going to mean for the country. More debt, more regulation, slower growth, and higher taxes. Congress continues to expand spending, and the Fed has no choice but to keep printing money at an accelerated rate. This causes the dollar to fall and gold to increase. Add in recent talk of the so-called Great Reset, the multinational elite enacting a digital wallet currency, and just think of the implications of all of this and exactly what it'll do to your personal finances. The importance of owning physical gold and silver has never been stronger. Time to create your own gold standard with a call to the dealer I do business with. Call the experts at veteran-owned Midas Gold Group. Call 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-4653. Online at MidasGoldGroup.com.
News and talk radio is still really popular. Even in the internet age, what you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling.
Here's looking at you, Snowflake. America first.
There's no way to press a button today and then every college, teacher training college in America suddenly becomes normal and unideologized. Is it even possible? Can you see a scenario where the stranglehold of those who believe America is bad, meritocracy is bad, how do we deal with that?
Well, I think you need to look at the underlying conditions and structures of power and then seek to shift the foundation.
That sounds like such a Marxist analysis. But I love the phrase. But break it down. What does that mean? Does it mean?
In order to defeat a Marxist, you must understand the Marxist,
yes.
Right? And that's really the foundational beginning. But what we need to do is we need to look at the public education system, and conservatives should start thinking of ways to radically decentralize it. So taking that power out of the hands of unprincipled and ineffective bureaucracies and actually distributing the money directly to families. So what if I were to tell you every American family in a given district gets $15,000 a year per child to choose the education of their choice? You'll immediately have entrepreneurs building new schools. You'll have religious institutions beefing up their education programs. You'll have homeschooling programs. You'll have creative different kind of pods for small neighborhood schools. You'll have one-room schoolhouses. You'll have a plethora of options so that families, even the poorest families, can exit from the failing public education system and choose an education that matches their values. And for people who don't believe in meritocracy, they can choose an education that doesn't value meritocracy.
Right.
But my kids, I'm going to choose a system that does value meritocracy, that does value achievement and accomplishment. And then we'll see what the outcomes are. And then parents will be offered a choice where they can say, well, the anti-meritocracy school seems to be breeding a bunch of losers. And the pro-meritocracy school seems to be breeding a bunch of very successful young people. And then people will have options, because right now, American families like mine, who have enough wealth and capacity, can always exit the public education system. But the people who are most punished are the people in Philadelphia public schools.
Yeah.
They have less than 20% of their students know how to read and write. So you have a public school district that spends more than $15,000 a year per student, and then only fails to educate 80% of them after 10,000 hours of instruction in basic reading and writing. This is a crime against poor people in this country, and conservatives need to figure out how to fundamentally break up the failing cartel and decentralize power back to American families.
Fabulous. Two last questions, just quick ones. We titled this, you know, Who Made Our Military Woke? What is your message in terms of what has to be done? Because I, as a guy who who worked with the military for 20 years now, this is scary. You know, the new Secretary of Defense had a universal shutdown of the military for 60 days after the inauguration to find the extremists and the white supremacists. It's just frightening. And he used the word enemies in his Senate hearing to talk about people inside the U.S. military. What should be the response of people like you and I who have a platform, the senators, the political commentators, to address that version of critical race theory in its most obscene? And then secondly and lastly, to those who aren't Chris Rufo or Seb Gorka, what do you say to those who are really intimidated by cancel culture?
Yeah, well, the military question is fundamental, because you've seen throughout history what happens when the military enforces political ideology.
Yeah.
I mean, this gets into very tricky territory very quickly. Certainly the attack on Tucker Carlson is way out of line. The senior members and the responsible people in the chain of command should immediately crack down on this, because what will happen is that the military will be perceived as a domestic political tool that will then alienate half the country from the troops, which I think would be catastrophic for the country and for the military in particular. But the average everyday person, look, you have to speak out. You have to develop the courage. And I would give you one single tip that will make you in some ways immune to cancel culture in your local community. The people who have successfully pushed back against this within local institutions have always rallied a group. It's very easy to cancel one person if you're standing up at a school board meeting. But if you have 10 people or 20 people or 50 or 100 people, you can't be canceled in the same way. So get together, develop a coalition of like-minded people from a diversity of backgrounds, and be very clear in your language, be very strong in your convictions, have the courage to take the heat, but push back, because we can do whatever we want intellectually, we can do whatever we want with legislation. But unless the American people and the actual average citizen stands up within the local institutions that matter, we can't solve this from the top down. It's got to be done simultaneously from the bottom up.
One patriot, easy to cancel. 10 patriots, 100 patriots, not so much. Follow him right now at Chris Rufo, Real Chris Rufo on Twitter, director of the Discovery Institute Center on Wealth and Poverty, the movie America Lost. You can watch it at americalostfilm.com. He's also a contributing editor to City Journal, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Any other place they should check you out, Chris?
Yeah, if you want to check out all of my latest work, it's at christopherrufo.com. You can also sign up to be a small patron. That's extremely helpful. And, this is the fight. I think this is the fight. We've identified the ideology. We're now starting to unmask how it exercises political power. And conservatives need to wisen up and understand that, we should have courage. I always like to say it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's actually true. It's we defeated the communists abroad in the last century. We're going to defeat the communists at home in this one. So get ready, battle up. Americans are always sometimes late to the conflict. We wait to the last minute, but we always win. And this is just the same thing, and we have to come together on it.
I do think Winston Churchill said very much the same thing, and his mom was American. ChristopherRufo.com. Support the man. Educate yourself.
America first. Magnificent.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
So what do we do about this political correctness that has taken over the colleges, the schools, the media, Hollywood? Well, we have to fight back, whether it's big tech, radical professors, Antifa, or censorship, wherever you look. It's time to take some action. The left started this takeover of our colleges and our culture over half a century ago. We need a plan to take back our republic. And one man has a plan. His name is Scott Walker. He knows how to fight and win. He proved as governor of Wisconsin that he will not stand down, no matter what the left throws at him. He is now the new president of the Young America's Foundation, and he's launching his plan called The Long Game, a bold strategy for winning the battle and the war. Governor Walker's new playbook, The Long Game, provides the tools needed to defend freedom today and for generations to come. Go to yaf.org/longgame today to get your free copy of this bold plan to save America. That's the Young America's Foundation, now headed by Governor Scott Walker. Get your copy of The Long Game at yaf. That's YAF, YAF.org/longgame. And after your blessed weekend, after you have rededicated yourself to helping take back the republic, it's time to unwind. It's time to laugh with an amazing new film from the executive producer we know so well here at America First, Mike Lindell of MyPillow fame. It's the hilarious new faith-based comedy Church People, starring Thor Ramsey, Stephen Baldwin, Donald Faison, and Joey Fatone, with a special guest cameo from Mike Lindell himself. Church People is a hilarious and heartwarming reminder that the gospel is enough. It all starts when America's youth pastor, Guy Sides, realizes he's stuck in a megachurch marketing machine and wants to find his passion again. But when Guy attempts to get back to the heart of his ministry, he's thrust into the throes of dissuading his misguided church leadership from performing a strange and potentially blasphemous stunt for the upcoming Easter service while navigating his own personal problems. Church People will leave you laughing out loud while ultimately reminding you of the true meaning of the gospel. You can stream Church People through us. Just go to salemnow.com. Use promo code GORKA for extra discounts. That's Mike Lindell's new movie, Church People, available at salemnow.com, promo code GORKA. We continue our special Good Friday program with an analysis of just how deep the rot of political correctness is within the U.S. military, with our very special repeat guests, Colonel Kurt Schlichter and that irrepressible Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff. They're not going to hold any punches. They're going to tell you the truth and what it's going to take to bring our military back. That's Kurt Schlichter, Jesse Jane Duff, here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. Don't touch that dial. You know I love MyPillow and how it literally changed my life. It's the pillow that won't go flat. You can wash it and dry it as many times as you want and it'll keep its shape. And it's made in the USA. Now, for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for just $29.98. That's originally $69.98, $40 of savings. And kings are only $5 more. That's the lowest price ever. Just $29.98 for the standard queen premium. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code GORKA. You'll find the most amazing offers and deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code GORKA, MyPillow.com.